And welcome back to Radio Primavera Sound. We're on our third language of the day, which is in English, because we are speaking to King Hannah. How on earth are you doing?
We're really good, thank you, aren't we?
Yeah, we're great, thank you.
Great, yeah.
And we are, you're on your way to a gig in Torino, but you're playing Barcelona this Sunday and Lanao, which is a lovely place to watch bands, by the way.
Great. That's good to know.
Yeah, I went there for the first time the other day and I really enjoyed it. And then the day after, Madrid El Sol. Looking forward to that. But the first thing I wanted to ask you about is your Christmas song. Blue Christmas. I was so pleased when I saw you have a Christmas song. What was the thinking?
So so Craig and I did that song, and we put it on like Instagram about four Christmases ago, didn't we? And we just for fun, and we absolutely loved doing it. And then we were going into the studio to record a different song just a few months ago, and at the very, very last minute, just a couple of days before going in, we were like, oh my god, we should record that Blue Christmas song, why not? We have the time, we're spending money on the studio, let's just do it, we know it, we love it, and then let's just put it out. And it was very, very, very last minute, and we're so happy we did it, and we love that song.
Yeah.
Are your parents happy about it? I can imagine my parents being very happy if I sort of settled down and made a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you said your parents were listening to it when they were putting the tree up.
Put the tree up on Saturday and Sunday, and they said they listened to it on repeat.
Yeah.
I hope they made a video of that, no?
Yeah, maybe they did. I think they were really emotional.
Just crying
the whole time.
Put the tinsel up.
Well, the funny thing is about doing a Christmas song is I kind of associate... I associate that more with American bands, I think, particularly... in the modern day. And you're often compared to American bands. I mean, you're from Liverpool, but you're often compared to American bands. Is that a kind of fair comparison, or do you think it's a bit of a, it's a bit unfair?
No, I think it's fair. I think we, you know, a lot of the music that we listen to is American. We love American bands and very influenced by, especially music, American music from the 70s and then the 90s, which is kind of like where we draw a lot of our inspiration from. So I think that's where it comes from.
I mean, it's not like a conscious thing, is it? You know, we want to sound American. To be honest, we never even thought about that or even recognized it. And I still don't think we recognize it, but everybody mentions it, don't they?
Yeah.
So It must be real.
Well, there's a couple of very specifics on the new album, Big Swimmer. For example, Lily Pad and the album's cover apparently references to Slint. Is that right?
The album cover isn't, but yes, the song is. Because we say their name, don't we?
We do say
We say the name Slint.
And obviously the album cover does, you know, it is people, it's Hannah in water. Yeah. But I think we were more thinking, because we knew it was called Big Swimmer and we wanted it to be the kind of image, but yeah.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I really like about your songwriting is the specificity that comes out in certain songs. For example, the opening line of Suddenly Your Hand, I like listening to Bill Callahan, or the reference to quite disturbing documentaries in the same song. Is that something you consciously do to kind of make things more specific?
No, it's not conscious. It's just, it just feels, if, you know, when you're just like writing and not thinking about it, that's just, I think, I don't know. I think we both try very hard to just write little stories in as much detail as possible, because that's, again, like what Craig was saying, that's like the artist that we listen to knew that. So it's very like, it's just subconscious. It's not like planned or anything. Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, another thing I really like in your songwriting is there is a real kind of touch of humour in quite a lot of them, I think. Again, like where does that come from? Is that kind of something that comes out naturally?
Again, I don't really know. Like, probably really rubbish to interview because I don't know any of the answers.
It's all good. Again, it's all good.
I mean, I don't think that I can't. I don't. I've never thought of it as humorous. But again, the artists that Craig and I listen to, like Bill Callahan, people like that, or
Silver Jews and stuff. It's kind of like, again, because the songs are extensions of things that have happened to us or how we're feeling, or they're super personal.
Yeah.
And the lightness, I think, comes from our personalities. I think we're not super serious all the time, and we're, you know, we can be fun. We can laugh.
We're fun.
Yeah. So I think that's, maybe that's where it comes from. But we never sit down and go, oh,
I'm going to write a funny song.
Yeah, this song is too dark. Let's put a joke in.
Well, let me give you an example of something I found quite funny, which was New York, Let's Do Nothing, which has the line about a job interview. So tell me something about you. I said, well, I'm a singer, musician too. He said, oh, no, not another one. Which I think is a great line. Well, great kind of three.
Oh, thank you.
Is that from personal experience?
Yeah, and that we got fired from that job. So I like, in a way, it's like just getting your own back as well, which I like doing.
You do, yeah.
I'm good at that. So, that did happen, yeah.
But what was their problem? Was it kind of, this was a place you both worked, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And was it like a place lots of musicians worked or something?
Yeah, it was really cool. It's a bar. And we made a lot of friends there, didn't we? Including each other. And everybody was like really, really talented and in some sort of way, weren't they?
Yeah, everyone was kind of, it was very artistic and had, you know, we're doing, obviously, I think job work, like bar work in definitely in Britain is like a thing you kind of do while you're trying to do the thing that you really want to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he was like, oh, not another one, because it was another artist who...
I remember seeing in his face after he said it, oh, that sounded awful, I probably shouldn't have said that. I remember thinking that, but he still said it. So it went in a song.
Well, that's the funny thing about it. I'd have thought if you've got a bar, wouldn't you want kind of like, you know, musicians and people who do interesting things work in there, you know?
100%, 100%.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
It's just, but it's fine. It's fine. But I don't think the bar's doing very well anymore, so.
After they sacked you, it was all downhill. You should go and play a gig outside or something like that, just so they can see what they
Well, we were off to go there, but we turned it down.
Okay.
Yeah. There was also a venue upstairs.
It's a good feeling.
I was going to ask, if this isn't a too personal question, do you still have other jobs as well, or is it the band full time?
Full time, aren't we?
Yeah, the band's full time now.
We're full time.
Yeah, since COVID, that's when we got signed during COVID, and it's so full on. I don't really imagine how we would have another. We have to be a very flexible job for us to do another, to have something else.
Yeah.
Has that been like a massive change in how things have gone? I mean, because as I said, like, you know, some of the lyrics have come, you know, very much from your everyday lives. And there's always the thing about people in bands, isn't it, that I actually quite like lyrics about, you know, being on tour and things like that. But some people kind of want to avoid that.
Yeah. Is it different, did you say? Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Has it made a big change in kind of how in being in the band, what it's like?
I think it's very different, isn't it? Because we're just on the road all the time now, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's very, very different. I mean, it's amazing. It's the best thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, we feel very lucky to be able to travel around all these places and play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, it, yeah. It's great. But it, yeah, it's good.
I mean, talking of which, how has this tour been? You've been all over Europe, right?
Yeah.
Yes. We're only like 2 weeks in, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit more now.
But 3 weeks to go.
I think we're like halfway now.
Halfway. Ooh, yeah. It's going really fast, isn't it?
It's going very fast.
Yeah, but it's going really well. We're playing France more than we've ever played France, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think we have like it's like 8 or something shows in France. And we've played 2 of those shows so far, and they were both like sold out and amazing crowds, and yeah, just the best. So it's really nice to like hit these new territories that we've not hit before.
And playing our first club shows in Spain.
Yeah.
As well. So.
Yeah. Because we played Primavera, didn't we, in 2022, but we've not played in Spain.
That's since. The only show we've ever played in Spain.
We're really excited to go back there.
Yeah.
How was the Primavera gig?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
We just got back from America. We'd been in America for 5 weeks, hadn't we?
Yeah.
So we flew from America and then played Primavera. So it was like the biggest whirlwind, wasn't it?
Yeah. That felt like a really important show, though. It felt really special as we were doing it.
Yeah. And we look back now and I think it was like a show that was like good for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like I think it... one will always remember, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned you're playing 8 gigs in France. Are you the kind of band that makes a real effort not just to go to Paris and Marseille or whatever, to go to the kind of smaller towns and cities?
Yeah, we are. I think it's important because I think if you're playing every year and you're only going back to the big cities, then you're kind of, there's this whole other untapped markets of kind of people who will never get to hear your music, and you'll never get to see these places and play in these amazing venues. And there's like a real feeling when you go to these like places outside of the main cities where the people are so kind of excited to see you play, because they don't get to see music as often as like Paris or Berlin or these huge cities that always get them the big touring acts. So we love playing.
Oh, we love it. And when we chat, because Craig and I always like chat to everybody afterwards and stuff, and they always say, don't they, like, thank you so much for coming to this town or village or whatever.
Yeah.
And we love them. We love seeing them, don't we?
Yeah.
Because it's amazing.
They usually end up being our favourite shows.
Yeah, they do actually.
Yeah.
So we have our booking agents and manager to thank for that.
Yeah.
We don't do any of the booking.
Is there like one place? I mean, there's loads of great places, but like one place that you've been to that you're like, you know, more bands should definitely play here.
Ooh.
It's tricky because we don't actually see the venue. Like last night's venue, for example, we played Leon last night. The venue was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they were saying, not many people come here. And it's like, oh, it's a real shame, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to play.
We played one show in a place called Jena in Germany, which was super. Do you remember that one?
Which one?
The one with the piano.
Yeah. That was nice.
And that was kind of like just the one place we stopped in between these two bigger festival shows. And that was like, I think that was one of my favourite shows I've ever
done. Ever, me too.
Yeah, because it was so intimate and people kind of sat around you, and there was this huge like grand piano in the room, and it was this old like manufacturing like warehouse.
Really cool. Thing. And remember like the door to get in was just like really, like it looked like nothing from the outside, and then you go in and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like insane.
So when you get to play those kind of places and have this history outside of music, it feels special.
And they always like, they're really well, like you said you had like Gnocchi, and it was the best Gnocchi ever.
Oh, yeah, it was good
Gnocchi. So things like that, they just, you know, you're really well looked after and people care. That's the thing. People care about what they're doing.
Did you say Jena? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, so it's, I think that's how you pronounce it. So it's Jena.
Hmm.
I even remember the street, do you?
Yeah, that's so vivid, that show for me.
Yeah, that's
because kind of turn up thinking, you're not knowing what to expect, and then it like exceeds your expectations. It's like, yeah, it was great.
I mentioned Big Swimmer came out this year. Your second album, after an EP as well. I've sometimes seen it called third, but it's your second album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the reaction been? Really good, right?
Yeah, it's been great, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're really pleased, yeah. Really pleased. I mean, you know, we're touring. This tour is off the back of the album, so and it's going well. So that's how we view it, I think, isn't it? The shows.
Yeah.
The shows are doing well.
And we're getting to play in, say, loads of new places and people. I think this has felt different to the first record because people are like singing the words back.
Yeah.
And it just feels a bit more like, it feels like
a more recognised album.
Yeah, it's managed to kind of reach more people, which is, you know, amazing.
I think we had more radio play, didn't we? Because the singles were a bit more radio-y, maybe, stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you've just answered this, but how do you think it moves things on from the first album? I'm Not Sorry, I Was Just Being Me, which is another great title, actually, of an album.
Well, we knew how important the second album was, you know, because you're following up from the first. It was important to Craig and I to, number one, love what we're doing, you know, but also to love what we're doing and make that jump up, that step up was so, so important. But at the same, it's weird, isn't it? Because you've got to, like, the people who love your current music, you want them to stick with you forever and ever, but you also want to appeal to new people. So there's a lot of boxes to try and tick. So I don't know if that answers your question. I don't think it does, but...
But also you can't really think of that when you're writing.
No, not at all. So
you just want to write music that you would want to listen to. That's kind of...
And that you enjoy playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I find interesting. People often talk about the second album being difficult, you know, because you spent all of the time on the first one, and then the second you've got to sort of do it in a year or whatever. But I didn't get that at all from you. I mean, was it easy? Is maybe not the word, but sort of like you didn't find it really difficult to record, maybe?
No,
it was difficult. We had longer to write this one. I mean, not much, like about 2 months longer. But those 2 months, it really helps. So I don't know about you, but personally for me, like the longer I have to write, the better. So that made it not easy at all, but less like stressful than the first, I would say.
Plus, I think every the EP and then the two albums, we've written all of those from scratch. You know, the first record wasn't like, oh, these are the songs we've been, you know, crafting for like 8 years or whatever.
No.
It was like every song on that first record was written for that record in those months. And then
was the second one though.
Yeah, not so first. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's the same with this. So I think that's why maybe the second album didn't feel like this huge, oh no, we've used up all our songs and we don't have any left. You know, that's kind of how we make each record.
Mm. And the recording process was very... you were asking if the recording was difficult. Well, we worked with a new guy, didn't we, Ali Chant, for this album. But we had, like, you know, like a limited time booked into the studio, which meant that we needed to be super, super organised and ready, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which is how we like to work anyway, but we had, like, an actual deadline, so...
Yeah, and
it was fun, wasn't it? Because we were so prepared, we'd practiced the songs over and over and over as a full band.
Yeah, and then we'd made like demos of each.
Yeah,
you know, lots of demos of each song in the practice room,
which we sent to Ali in advance, so he knew what we were after and stuff.
Yeah, so everything was. It felt like we did this the right way.
So the recording process. I wouldn't say it was difficult. It was more just like fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, we really enjoyed it because we were really super prepared.
Yeah.
Craig, you once said in an interview that as a band, you are very open and honest with each other. How does that sort of come across in the studio? Is it very easy for you to say that you want to change something or you don't like something that someone else has done?
I think it is.
I think it is, yeah.
It is. I mean, it's important. We both want the exact same outcome.
We do.
You know, and if we have different ideas on how we are to achieve that, then that's just healthy part of making a record. Obviously it gets a little bit more, it's personal, isn't it? So if people thought, I think we're good at it. Do you?
Well, like you said, we want the same thing.
We want the same thing, yeah. We both want, we have such a similar taste in music and,
sound.
Yeah, and
sound. Like, we both love the same sounding music and the same sounding vocals and stuff, don't we?
Yeah.
Which is so important.
Yeah.
I think, sorry.
No,
I was just going to say, I think that's very, very healthy if you can kind of do that. Has it always been that way with you, that you can be so honest, or did it kind of take a while to arrive?
No, I think we're okay. I think we've been pretty honest.
Yeah, I think I also think we're like our most harsh critics as well. You know, we don't instantly just love everything that we do, individually.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So it's, sometimes it's, the other person will try and make, if Han shows me something that she's like, oh, I'm not sure. And I absolutely love it.
Which happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, I'd be like,
and vice versa.
You're so silly for not loving that. We'll kind of, it works that way as well. It's not just always going, oh, I don't like that. Sometimes we really
that does
like
happen,
it.
Though.
That does happen, yeah.
And then we just argue, and then we make up the next day.
Yeah, it's fine.
Is there an example of a song that happened with, that maybe Hannah brought it in and was like, I don't really like this, and you were like, no, this is great.
Yeah,
it happened with Big Swimmer. That was the...
And Go-Kart Kid.
Yeah. But Big Swimmer, she showed me that.
I didn't not like it, did I?
No, but you thought didn't know. You thought it was too, sweet or something, or singy.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then it was like the last practice before we were going into the studio, where I was like, you have to show the band this song because, we have to record it, and so it was like that was the final practice, and then you showed them it, and. Then that has become the album title and the whole metaphor behind everything, and it's your favorite song.
Yeah, it's my favorite song. I love it. I love singing it. The whole thing, it's that song brought the whole thing. It all made sense, didn't it? Once that song was in place.
I can't imagine the album without it. Really. It wouldn't make. Yeah, I don't know what the album would be without it.
And it's a very important song, actually, because the amount of people that have been in touch since to tell us that they're Big Swimmers in whatever way they are, it's the nicest thing ever. And they tell us in person, like two people said to me the other day, and they didn't mean it in like a deep, meaningful way, but they were like, oh, we've been trying to get tickets for this show for so long. We've been stood outside. We've been stood outside the venue waiting for tickets. I didn't tell you that, actually. And then they went, we're not giving up because we're Big Swimmers. And I was like, yeah, go. So it was just fun. Like everybody has their own little take on what a Big Swimmer is to them.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Big Swimmer is one of the albums of the year. But can I just ask, what are your apart from your own work, of course, what are your favourite albums of the year?
Ooh,
I really love Cassandra Jenkins' album. Really love Waxahachie's album.
Morning Fireworks.
MJ Lenderman's, yeah. I'd probably say they're the three.
Good question.
I think they're the three I've listened to most that I keep going back to. I think, I can think of any more.
I've been listening to MJ Lenderman on repeat.
Yeah. Really like the English Teacher album. I'd probably say those. They're the best. They're my favourite.
Good answer.
Off the top of my head. Yeah.
As I mentioned, you are playing Barcelona on Sunday, the 8th of December at Lanao, Madrid the following day at El Sol. Hannah, Craig, thank you so much. I hope the gig in Torino goes very, very well. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in Barcelona this weekend.
Oh, we'll see you there.
All right.
Thank you very much. This has been really fun.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.